Perfect wife. Love, leisure time, reading the scriptures. It's one of the most soothing, enriching, spiritual things that we can do. And occasionally, as we read, we find something we really want to study, something that really moves us. And I was reading through the book of Proverbs. And I came across the last chapter of Proverbs. And there I read about a perfect wife, that her value exceeds the finest jewels. You know, it's been a quest in the life of many a guy to find the perfect girl, to find the perfect wife. The dating services that people look at, eHarmony and iMatch and We Together, and there's a lot of them because there's a lot of money in this. The last I looked, I think in North America, $2.2 billion was spent on people trying to find the perfect mate. But I'm not talking about earthly relationships, and you already knew that. And you probably already surmised that I'm not just talking about sisters. I'm talking about that which John saw and recorded in the book of Revelation. In chapter 21, verse 9, John said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul spoke of this in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 25, he tells us, "Husbands, love your wives." Now I could close my Bible and enough admonition would be delivered right there. Husbands, love your wives. Kind to them, be good to them. As Brother Homer often said, listen to your wife, which I always found to be sage advice and well to be taken. Thank you, Brother Homer. Love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. This is a great mystery, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. The qualities of godly women are also given to us in Scripture. And as we read these qualities, we think that they are so true, that they are so profound. We'd like to read first in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, and not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness." So there's one of the qualities of a godly wife. Peter continues this theme in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children, if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. In verse 5, the word adorned comes from the Greek kosmeo. And we think of kosmeo, all got it. And cosmetics, you apply them to make yourself more appealing, more attractive. And it works. That, too, I guess, is a multi-billion dollar industry. Aren't they all? But cosmeo means to order or to arrange. And so what is truly an adornment for not just a woman, but for any saint of God? To adorn themselves with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. You know, how often have we seen people that see them across the room and you say, what a striking look. An incredibly beautiful woman. What a handsome man. And then maybe you have the opportunity to talk to them and they open their mouth. Need I say more? But the things that come out are just shocking sometimes. The things of hatred and anger and petty jealousies and selfishness and so much virulence. The external is beautiful, but the internal is repulsive. I have bad wife scriptures too. Do you want to hear them? Proverbs. Yes, brother, we do. Bring it on. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 13. A foolish son is a destruction to his father, but it gets worse. And the contentions of a wife are a constant drip. In the place where I work, we have various examination rooms for the patients who come to see us, and always this one faucet. If they don't turn it off just right, and I have to get up and go over because I can't stand it anymore. So we understand that for some reason the dripping of water is a very annoying thing. And so being contentious is really a very annoying thing, like a constant dripping. Chapter 25, verse 24. Another description of a bad wife. And some advice regarding a bad wife. It is better to live in a corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Contention in the home. Provide the godly atmosphere that we desire in a Christian home is incumbent on both the husband and the wife to maintain that level of peace and harmony in the home that would glorify the Lord. Relationships here, are we? We're talking truly about a match made in heaven. And that is the union of Christ and His church. I was talking earlier about the last chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, and in that section of verses 10 through 31, we have a description of a perfect wife. What should she be? So we would like to go through with you each of those scriptures and consider the elements of a perfect wife's behavior. And again, brothers, this is for us as prospective members of the Bride of Christ. Who can find a capable wife? Her value exceeds the finest jewels. a capable wife. What does that mean, that she's capable? Well, I think of some of our sisters and their incredible industry. You know, I understand that there are sisters who actually built additions onto the home. And gourmet cooks, just incredibly talented women. But what does this word capable mean? I thought it was interesting to see its use in another Old Testament scripture, and that's in Exodus chapter 18. It's used there in verses 21 and 25. Exodus 18, 21 and 25. And there Moses is told to choose out capable men who would govern, who would help to lead, who would guide the nation of Israel. And that word capable has the sense of having moral strength. So there is something right off the bat that in this relationship, how is this relationship going to work? What does any relationship need? It needs respect. And respect really is a reflection of moral strength in a relationship. Proverbs 18:22 tells us that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. A wife is a treasure. It's wonderful to think that our Lord Jesus looks forward to receiving the great treasure of his heavenly bride. A capable wife, a woman of moral strength, and her value exceeds the finest jewels. Her husband has full confidence in her. As a result, he lacks nothing of value. Now we can mathematically turn that around. If her husband has full confidence in her, and therefore he lacks nothing of value, if her husband will not exercise any confidence, if he withholds confidence, if he expresses doubts about her abilities, then maybe he will have lack. Proverbs 12, verse 4 tells us in regard to this that an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. And I've seen many sisters who have glorified the Lord in their relationship, with their partnerships with their husband, have been a crowning glory to their husband. But she who would bring shame is like rottenness in his bones. Verse 12, Proverbs 31, she will bring good to him and never evil every day of her life. This is a morally strong, a morally capable woman. Verse 13. She seeks out wool and flax, working with eager hands. She's like a seagoing ship that brings her food from far away. She rises while it is still night, preparing meals for her family and providing for her women servants. She evaluates a field and purchases it. From the proceeds, she plants a vineyard. She clothes herself with fortitude and fortifies her arms with strength. She seeks out wool and flax, working with eager hands. You know, as soon as I read that, I thought, that sounds like Isaiah chapter 1. We're all so familiar with that phrase there in Isaiah 1, verse 18. Though your sins be as scarlet, yet they shall be made whiter than snow. They shall be made whiter than the whitest wool. And again, of flax we read in Revelation 19, verses 8 and 14, that the linen made from flax is the righteousness of saints. So she seeks out that which is righteous and appealing to the Lord, seeks out righteousness in her own character, seeks out to encourage righteousness in those who are in her family. These are all the elements of a perfect wife. Now I can reflect on the time when I was a young guy in high school, and you know, guys discover girls and girls discover guys, and guys are standing off in the corner, and one of the popular girls in school walks by, and they all follow her. And she has the most beautiful hair. Another one comes by. She has such a beautiful face. And another comes by. She's like a seagoing ship that brings her food from far away. I didn't really say that, but it is a beautiful quality. You know, this is really a beautiful attribute of the perfect wife. We have an expression that we use in our training at a professional level, and the phrase is summed up in this, that you don't work in silos, that you don't just surround yourself, this is me, my work, my wall, here I am, and you shut everything and everyone else out. This commerce of dissolving the walls that can exist between us and reaching out and becoming involved, being more involved with the family arrangement, being more involved in the ecclesia arrangement, being more involved in the Bible students at large throughout the United States, throughout the world. Philippians 2 has some beautiful thoughts on this, and we'd like to read it now. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, then make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness, building your silo, or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not look merely out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Be like a seagoing ship. Sometimes the waves are rough, the voyage is rough, but the commerce is well worth it. Sometimes the winds are a little strong as we go out on the waters, but the commerce, the fellowship of the brethren, the interacting, the integrity is so well worth it. In verse 15, the perfect wife rises while it is still night, preparing meals for her family and providing for her women servants. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, weigh in on this. Romans 13, 11 to 14. Do this, knowing the time that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not carousing and not in drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. The perfect wife rises in the night to prepare food. That implies great diligence. And it implies great concern. And it's not just for her family either, but it's for the servants of the household as well. The generosity of the Spirit that realizes that, oh, if I just focus on my own, yeah, you'll get some return. But if we're liberal in our kindness toward others, if we're of a generous spirit, if we supply others with what they need, we will prosper so greatly. Proverbs 14:1 tells us this. The wise woman builds her house. But the foolish tears it down with her own hands. Quite a remarkable statement. Saying destructive and hurtful things, holding on to grievances from the past and continually bringing them up. Don't tear down the house with your own hands. Make for peace in the house. Aim to build it up. Though I confess, sometimes with husbands, it's hard to do. We understand. Verse 16, Proverbs 31. She evaluates a field and purchases it. From the proceeds, she plants a vineyard. And I think this is a very important and beautiful quality of the perfect wife. I'd like to read one of my favorite verses. It pertains to this. You can put it on your refrigerator next to Job 28. 1 Peter 4:10. And I love this verse because it shows that every one of us in this room has an ability and a responsibility. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Each of us has a gift. We have something to offer at some level. I think sometimes just getting yourself up and bringing yourself to the meetings, even if you're not really feeling well, even if you're not well prepared for the study, to go to the meeting. Because if you're not sending out any verbal message, you're sending out a nonverbal message that says, this is where I want to be. This is where I belong. I'm here. And you know how encouraging that is to those who have responsibility of leadership in the church? Do you know how encouraging it is to the other brethren to see, oh, you know, brother so-and-so wasn't feeling well tonight? Or maybe they don't even know you don't feel well, but that you came, you supported. Each one of us has a gift, something that we can use to better our brethren. And it's important to do so because this is a manifestation of the grace of God toward you and toward me. It's a quality of a perfect wife. Picking up the narrative in verse 18, the perfect wife is confident that her profits are sufficient. Her lamp does not go out at night. She works with her own hands on her clothes. Her hands work the sewing spindle. She reaches out to the poor, opening her hands to those in need. She is unafraid of winter's effect on her household because all of them are warmly clothed. She creates her own bedding using fine linen and violet cloth. Confident that her profits are sufficient. Verse 18, her lamp does not go out at night. Never doubt the profitability of divine servants. Never doubt it. You know, that's one of Satan's tools. You think that you doing this is going to have any eternal effect on anything at all? Do you think that your little service is going to advance the work of establishing the kingdom? Do you think your little service means anything to anybody? Well, by the grace of God, it does, no matter how small. We must regard the day of small beginnings and small things, because enough small beginnings and small things all piled together will have a tremendous effect for good. For the kingdom of God. Don't doubt the profitability of your service. Matthew chapter 5, the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, tell us that you are the light of the world. You are. So let your light shine. Let others see it. She's unafraid of winter's effect on her household because all of them are warmly dressed. And they are warmly dressed because she has provided for them. She creates her own bedding using fine linen and violet cloth. Her husband is well known. He sits among the leaders of the land. She designs and sells linen garments, supplying accessories to clothiers. That's an interesting verse. Verse 24. She designs and sells linen garments, supplying accessories to clothiers. But let's back up a bit. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. Her husband is well known. He sits among the leaders of the land. As the bride admires her bridegroom, in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10, we read this. My beloved is dazzling and ruddy, chiefest among 10,000. His head is like gold, pure gold. His locks are like clusters of dates and black as a raven. We had that read last night. Thank you for that, Brother David and Sister Joanna. Her husband is indeed very well known. And our prospective husband, known indeed, respected by all the leaders of the land. This woman, married to this man, has an industry. She designs and sells linen garments and supplies accessories to clothiers. What could that possibly mean? I think it might mean this. That she's always thinking of excuses for the offenses of others. That she doesn't hold grudges. That when people fail her, she lovingly and kindly puts the best spin on things. I'd like to read from the book of Galatians chapter 6 regarding that. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, not minor offenses, any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burden, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Design linen garments. We talked about linen representing righteousness. Design coverings for the faults, the failings of others. In so doing, you will be acting like the perfect wife. Verse 25 of Proverbs 31 is one that really strikes me, and I love it. I'll single this one out because I think it is a heroic and a brave scripture. Strength and dignity are her garments. She smiles or she laughs at the future. And the courage implied in that. You know, so many of us can worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm getting older. I lose my job. What if my spouse becomes ill? What if this? What if that? Does the future look dark? Well, it can. We can talk ourselves into that. But, dear brethren, our times are in God's hands. It's not left to chance. I often say it, and I mean it, and don't take offense as I look at you and I say this, but you are the unluckiest people on the planet because you don't need an ounce of luck. You don't need luck. You don't need happenstance. You have divine providence in your life. Who wants luck? She smiles about the future because she trusts in the Lord. Jesus said to us to take no thought for the morrow, what we shall wear, what will we eat, what will we... No, don't worry about it. Seek the kingdom of heaven. That'll make you smile. Seek the kingdom of heaven, and don't worry about the future. This perfect wife speaks wisely, verse 26. She speaks wisely, teaching with gracious love. And there's a verse that really needs no explaining. It's just so clear. What comfort we take in those who speak wisely and teach with gracious love. And maybe we don't have great wisdom. Maybe we have a hard time speaking with love. But if we don't practice it, we won't get better at it. And as we do practice speaking with wisdom, regulating our behavior, regulating our thoughts, as we seek to speak those things that are filled with gracious love, we'll get better at it. And after all, isn't that who we really want to be? I don't know if you did it, but I did it as a kid. You know, I'd go into Dad's closet and take out his sport coat, you know, and maybe put on one of his shirts and his tie and dress up. I'm going to be just like Dad. Well, I couldn't really fill the garments, you know. They were hanging off me. I'd probably look pretty silly or cute, maybe to Mom. But that's what I wanted to be. I want to be just like Dad. And as we play this dress-up, putting on the things of the Spirit in our daily lives, we may not fill the garment the way we want to, but we're trying. And as long as we're trying, we will grow into it. Verse 27, the perfect wife looks discreetly to the affairs of her household. She is never lazy. But we'd like to turn back to the book of Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 24. This woman is not lazy. She's industrious. Beginning with verse 30 of Proverbs 24. I passed by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked, and I received instruction. And here's the instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. A little sleep, a little slumber. We must look to the affairs of our household and never be lazy. Verse 28, her children stand up and encourage her, as does her husband, who praises her. And there's an area that probably most of us brothers, we'll just focus it on us for a moment, probably an area that most of us could do better in, and that is in praising our wives, in complimenting them, in telling them how much we appreciate what they do for us, to offer her praise. God does the same thing for us, for all of us. In Hebrews 6, verses 10 through 12, we read this, that God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope unto the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Her children stand up and encourage her, as does her husband, who praises her. Many women have done wonderful things, he says, but you surpass all of them. Charm is deceitful. Beauty fades. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Reward her for her work. Let her actions result in public praise. Well, we have seen this perfect wife. She's a woman of a meek and quiet spirit, a forgiving spirit, a generous spirit. She provides for others temporally, emotionally, spiritually. She is very capable in the sense of exercising moral strength and godliness. She's industrious, buying a field, growing a vineyard, looking for avenues of service to prosper the work of the Lord. Reward her for her work. Let her actions result in public praise. And so it will be that the bride of Christ, united with Him as the perfect wife, will receive this. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And there you have it, friends. Story of the perfect wife and all her qualities. May the Lord bless each of us as we seek to emulate that in our daily lives, to be a glory to His name and a blessing to others, our spouses, our children, those we have contact with, and the brethren that we meet together with around the world. I thank you again, Phoenix Brethren, for your lovely service for this wonderful, wonderful weekend we've had together. May the Lord's Spirit continue to abide and prosper you here and all of us as we depart. God bless.